Hi, how's it going? Good. How crazy was the weather this morning? Did any of you have to drive through that or just my awesome volunteers? Yeah, we thought we were seeing the apocalypse or something. All of a sudden it was clear blue skies and then all of a sudden it just blew really quickly in and then blew out. So we're excited for that and happy about that. And honestly, I'm going to mention a little bit about being devoted and dedicated. And I think that's a sign already that you ladies have the capacity to be devoted, or you are devoted because you're all here. So thanks for coming. Many of you are here today to learn how to be healthier and how to maybe eat better or how to become more active in your life. And just like many of you, when the first of the year came around, Nathan and I had that annual Come to Jesus talk about needing to be healthier and to live healthier lives. I mean, we talk about it throughout the year, but it always happens in the new year, and I think it's just kind of trained into us culturally, but you also realize that right after the holidays have passed, that you have just let everything go. And so Nathan and I have begun this journey of living healthier lives, so we are eating a much more nutritionally balanced diet. We are cutting out all the artery-clogging fast food restaurants because we tend to go there on a weekly basis, and we have limited our sugar intake, which for him, he's not a sweet tooth, but for me, it went from eating ice cream every day to now limiting to once a week, which is a huge accomplishment for me. And we have also just been really intentional about exercising and trying to get 5 days in a week to exercise or to be active in some way. And although these are great strides to take and to make for making a healthy life change, these aren't going to affect us how they could if we don't have our priorities straight. It is scientifically proven that what you put into your body dramatically affects your output, and not only affects what you are physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. And meaning, whatever you put into your body has a direct effect on your physical body and then some. How you fuel your body will either advance you in your abilities or it will inhibit you. And the same is true for your spiritual walk. Today, you will walk away with some great tips on how to live out your lives healthier, both with dieting tips and exercise tips. But those are meaningless if we do not first focus on our spiritual health. Because without spiritual health, the life change might be an outward one, but internally you will still be having that war against yourself. And a lot of times it doesn't matter all that much what you eat and do if you are not right with the Lord. You'll still have that weight and that burden on your shoulders. And so we are going to focus on your physical health, but before we do that, we're going to jump into God's Word and see how we can be spiritually healthy. And so we're going to find out some ways to avoid a spiritual heart attack. So if you could, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 1. And as you turn there, I'm just going to open in prayer. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for all these ladies who drove through weather and the chaos of getting yourself ready at home, whether it's with kids or just getting out of the house. I know sometimes can be a feat in itself. So, God, we just thank you for bringing us all here. We thank you for this time that we have to spend in your word and to glean from your truth, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bring practical life change in us, both physically and spiritually, Lord. And we just pray that we would be guided and motivated and inspired to change through your word. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, in order for someone to avoid a spiritual heart attack, we must eat a well-balanced diet. We must be physically active in our faith, and we must be get our adequate rest. And the same goes for your physical body as it does your spiritual, as I mentioned before. And these guidelines you want to follow so that you have good spiritual health. In Psalms, we are going to see how your decisions impact your health. And so what you decline, what you delight in, and what you depict are all going to play a factor. Read with me Psalms 1, 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So the first thing I want you to see is what she declines. Notice how David opens the Psalms. He says, "Blessed is the man," or "Oh, how happy is the man who" what? "Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Our happiness and our contentment in our lives is determined on what we withhold ourselves from. So we are told here that we need to not give ear to ungodly counsel, to not be influenced by sinners, and to make sure that the scornful are not our sphere of influence. And since we're here to kind of learn about our physical health and nutritional health and guidelines, I'm just going to kind of intertwine them both. And so I want you guys to imagine what like ungodly counsel as saturated fats. Okay, so saturated fats. Yeah, you think about it. It's like butter, and I think they said lard, which it sounds horrible, but it tastes so good. So they taste really good. They add so much flavor. But they also create this buildup of cholesterol in your arteries, which can lead to deadly diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure and even a heart attack. And ungodly counsel is most likely going to be the same. It's going to sound really good. It might even make you feel good, but ultimately it's polluting your life, and it's clogging your arteries, and it's creating blockages in your life and your spiritual walk with the Lord. And if you're not careful, the plaque will begin to surround your heart. Now, imagine that standing in the path of sinners is processed sugar. Okay. Like you heard, I love ice cream, so I love sweets. And so when I say everyone loves sugar, I really mean just me, but I'm saying everyone because that's my sphere of influence, okay? So sugar brings me joy. Hopefully it brings you joy too, but it brings me lots of joy. It's tasty, it makes me feel delightful, and it goes almost with anything, right? Like you can have bitter coffee and a piece of chocolate, and that is heavenly. But sugar, with a sugar high comes a sugar low. And so it adds all these things to your life, or you feel like it does, but then it also causes your teeth to rot. It spoils your appetite, and it turns into undesired fats. And so hanging out with the wrong crowd, with the wrong people, it may be fun. It can even allow you to behave in a certain way where you do not receive condemnation. It can take you places that you might not usually go, and you may allow you to behave or do things that you don't normally do. But just like your rotting teeth, you're rotting your heart. You're allowing your heart to grow bitter and hardened to God and His will for your life. And if you're not careful, the conviction of the Holy Spirit will no longer affect you as deeply, because you are pushing God to be at an arm's length. And so his influence and his impact on your life, it's like, I'll give ear, but maybe not. I'm not really sure that I want to hear from you. And so you have to be very careful not to push the Lord away. And instead of sitting with the scornful, I imagined overeating. And some of you might be like, well, that's not my challenge or my problem. You just wait until you hear my testimony. So imagine what it's like when you give your body more than what it needs. They say, the saying fat and happy comes to mind, because that's kind of my motto at times when I am not walking in a good, healthy regimen for my life. And so your stomach, it is the size of a fist, or at least it should be. My stomach is, it has to be 2, possibly 3. And I say that because there is a joke in my house that I eat so much. When a girl who is 5'5 can out-eat her husband on a daily basis who is 6'4, we might have a problem. And so you see that my appetite for unhealthy food is all the greater because I have stretched my stomach out. And isn't it funny how easy it is to overindulge, to take in more than what you need? And I totally lost my spot, but in fact, just ignore that. I would say it feels good, it tastes good, and it literally makes you feel fat and happy. It kind of makes you, when you eat so much that your stomach's happy, you want to sit down on the couch. You don't really want to move. You might turn on a movie if you don't feel too lethargic to, like, push the button, right? And as Americans, it is proven that our portions are double, if not triple, the size of what they were back in 20 years ago. And one journalist wrote, it's no secret that waistlines and food portions have been ballooning across America, the land of the free and the home of the artery-clogging supersized value menu. So, in order for us to recover from this culturally influenced diet, we have to decline what is seen as normal. You would have to train your body to eat from the kiddies menu so that you're eating the correct portion. Have any of you ever tried to portion your meals out and eat the correct amount for your size mass? Has anyone done that? Well, if you have, you know that the struggle is real, because it's not only takes a lot of discipline, but it's painful. It hurts. And it's not even like, oh, my stomach is hungry. Like, it affects your mood and your emotions. And so it doesn't just hurt you. It hurts everyone around you, because now Miss Hangry has entered the room. And so just as it takes great discipline to eat healthy, the correction of unhealthy eating and overindulgings, its impact is that much more significant. And the same goes for your spiritual walk with the Lord. If you indulge in the world, if you eat from the hand of the devil, you become fat and happy. You get comfortable in your sin, and you no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit at all. It doesn't faze you when you act out in an ungodly, lustful way. Ladies, we need to decline the allure of the world. We must stop consuming what the world sees as a moral code and how they justify ungodly living, and we must embrace what the Lord has for us. We need to decline what is considered politically correct in society and stand up for what we know God sees as morally correct. We need to decline what is normal so that we can receive what is extraordinary and abnormal, and that is what God can do. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Our spiritual health is dependent upon what we choose to deny ourselves. It is also dependent upon what we choose to delight ourselves in. And so next we're going to take a look at the scripture again, Psalms 1, verse 2, and we're going to see what she delights in. And it says, "But his," or her, "delight is in the law of the Lord, and in her law she meditates day and night." So David tells us that our lives will be blessed if we decline what the world has to offer and we delight in the law of the Lord. And so nutritionally speaking, we need to put down the saturated fats, the processed sugars, and overeating, and we need to delight in our fruits and vegetables, or I'm going to consider that the Holy Spirit. We need to delight in low-fat proteins, and those are the promises of God. And we need to delight in whole grains, which is Jesus himself. As people, we are defined not just by what we don't do, but what we do do. And it is oftentimes said that you are what you eat. I believe that, again, to be true, not just for your physical body, but your spiritual body as well. Just as overeating is incredibly bad and damaging to your body, starving yourself is just as damaging, right? And so, ladies, we need a steady, healthy diet. What food you fuel your body with is the fuel, and God's word should be what fuels your soul. We need to be feeding our minds and our hearts on God's word daily. John 6:27 tells us, "Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." Job 23:12 says, "I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Ladies, we need to be like Job. We need to have and make our spiritual lives our priority. That needs to be our health, first and foremost, should be spiritually. And it should be above all else. We need to eat the fruits and vegetables. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we are able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians tells us that we should walk in the Spirit and that we should be bearers of the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we are what we eat, we need to consume the Holy Spirit. We also need to live by God's promises. Protein is what builds muscle and it gives you strength. I see God's promises in the same way for our spiritual lives. It is through his promises that we are able to live by faith, to bring hope to the lost, and to have joy regardless of what our circumstances may be. We need to lean on the promises of God every day, knowing that we get our strength from him and that we can take each day on through him. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." And lastly, a healthy meal is not completed without a whole grain. John 6:35, Jesus tells us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." If we want our unhealthy cravings, our unhealthy habits, like the sugars and the fatty foods, to go away, we must fill ourselves with the Spirit and make sure that our spiritual diet is one that consists of the Holy Spirit and God's promises and what he has to offer us here. We must empty ourselves of ourselves and of the world's lusts and be filled with Jesus. So I see Jesus as the one carb that you don't want to pass up. He's the grain that makes you whole. He is the bread of life. So in order for us to maintain a healthy diet, in order to get results from this healthy diet, we need to follow these guidelines. Psalms 1, it will lead you into seeing what is depicted and what you see, the result of living this disciplined lifestyle. Psalms 1 tells us that if we decline ungodly influences and if we delight in God's word, we will have a well-balanced diet that will make us like a tree planted by a river of water. And so what we decline and what we delight in is what depicts the picture we paint of ourselves. And so let's see how David paints the picture. He says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." When I read that, I instantly think of our New Mexican climate, and I think of the cottonwood trees down by the river and how they are massive trees. Their tree roots run deep and wide, and they are always flourishing. They can withstand harsh climates. If you think of the New Mexican sun that we have here, yet it can take on the rocky winters. These enormous trees are able to withstand these climates only, and the storms that may come, only through being planted near a constant water source. Now imagine a cottonwood tree in the middle of the mesa. And if you probably can't, because they don't exist, because there's no water, there's no living water out there. And that is the same for us spiritually. The Lord is our living water, and he needs to flow and run through us if we want to be able to withstand the trials, the tribulations, the heartache, and the disappointments of this life. Scripture tells us that in this world there will be tribulation, that we will face tribulation, but to be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. We are able to claim this victory only for ourselves because Jesus lives within us. We are overcomers because he overcame. Our strength is in him. Our hope is in him. And so our confidence should be in him and in his divinity and not our ability. When I read Psalms 1, I also think of the amazing athletes that are in the Olympics. And we just were able to see the Olympics about 6 months ago, and I am always in awe of their capacity, of what their bodies can do and go through. I think Olympic athletes' abilities are amazing, and I think of the discipline that their bodies undergo and the diets that they are committed to, in the hours and the months and the years that they devote to training up for this occasion. And these individuals, I don't believe they wake up one day and go, "Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try out for the Olympic team today, just for fun, see how it goes." I think that they are passionate, that these people are passionate individuals who are devoted to a sport. Now imagine if we had just as much passion for the Lord. These people are willing to give up what we Americans or the world would call a normal life, which is hanging out with friends and going day to day, but not killing yourself and putting your body through the ringer. They give up what is normal so they can do something extraordinary. So they change the ordinary into the extraordinary. And if we were willing to pass up the lure of the world, if we were willing to sacrifice our desires for the Lord's desires and willing to surrender everything over to God, imagine what God could do in you and through you. Imagine your abilities and imagine how He, our Lord, could expand your ability if you simply were available to Him. Chip Lesko recently said that if it's not about your ability, it's about your availability for the Lord. If you allow Him to come in and fully fill your life, your capacity will grow in crazy ways, in voluminous ways, because He is filling you and He is using you beyond what you know that you are capable of. And if you want to be able to take on the day-to-day trials and to be strong and to just have a fulfilled, happy, blessed life, you have to know that you have to be sold out for the Lord. And so are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do what these Olympic athletes do? Are you willing to devote your life to God in such a way that you give up what you might desire or what the world says is the best thing? Are you willing to sacrifice those things? The U.S. Olympic team's motto is faster, higher, stronger. And I believe that that should be our spiritual motto this year, that we can run this race faster, that we can climb higher in our walk with the Lord, and that we can grow stronger in our love for Him. So I say that we make that commitment today. I say that we move forward with that. Do you agree? Yes. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we come before You, and again, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You care for not only our spiritual bodies, but also our physical bodies, Lord, and that You desire us to live fulfilled, blessed lives, and to do that through You and through Your word. Lord, we pray that we will be able to apply these practical truths spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally as well, God. So we just give You this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so coming up, we have the fun. So we're going to have our very own Julia Arnold. She is going to be our TV show hostess for the mostest. She is our She Lives coordinator. She helps put this event on and make sure that each little piece of the puzzle is working. And so she is going to kind of walk you guys through a cooking demonstration with a very special individual that she will introduce.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, how about we turn this on? There we go.
Are you? There I am. Okay, I would like to introduce our chef for this morning, who is our lovely Tracy Rodden of She Ministries. So give her a round of applause. And Tracy is coming up with her daughter, Marin, which it is her birthday today.
It's actually Marin, and she gets mad at me all the time. Why did you name me that? And yep, I had her when I was 10. It's the truth. Yep. So today, normally when I make this food, I have on sweats, my hair's up, and I put on a movie that I really love, like Sense and Sensibility or something like that. And I'm just cooking, and everybody kind of leaves me alone. So, you know, give me some grace to transition this to try to explain it to you. But we do have some soup for you to try as I'm talking through. So quickly, I just want to explain why.
Yeah, we're going to move you forward a little bit here.
But I can keep talking. So about a year ago, I had some blood work done. Oh, yeah, that's better. It's way brighter. My blood sugar was like 124, and they said, ooh, you're pre-diabetic. And I'm like, No, not me. And that was the truth. And I had been kind of eating whatever I wanted that made me happy, like Janae said. And also, my cholesterol was really high. It was 163, which is not like off the charts, but I knew if I kept doing what I was doing with my food, I would easily move in a worse direction. So I had noticed that Pastor Skip was like getting smaller. And I didn't want to say anything, but I talked to somebody that knows him, and they said, oh, yeah, he's reading this book called Prescription for Life. And, you know, there's all these things that you have to do. I don't know, she said, you just have to read it. And I thought, okay, and I kind of tucked that in the back of my mind, thinking I'm never going to read that, right? I work, and I'm the mom of five kids, and that's not going to happen. But Marin and I had a conversation about it, and she said, oh, yeah, I have that book, right? And Marin is one of my kids that enjoys eating healthy.
Yeah, so I was here when the doctor came and like spoke to the church about it, and the book was like $3, and I was like, oh, I'll buy that because it's $3, and I was a vegan for a while and was just really into like plant-based eating, and that's mostly like how he ate, so I just thought that was really interesting. So when my mom was like, oh, have you heard of this book? I was like, yeah. So I just like gave it to her, and then I was gone all summer in Washington, and then I came back and I hugged her, and I was like, you're so skinny, like you're so small, and I'm
no,
pretty
no.
sure.
This is what happened. When you go to get somebody at the Sunport and they walk out of the secure area, my husband was doing this with me, and she's walking, and from like 50 feet away, she screams, Mom, you're so thin. And I was like, okay. And like all these people turn around, I'm like, ooh.
She is. I think we wear the same size jeans now. She's always like, what size are those? Can I borrow them? I'm like, stop it. Stop it.
So I didn't start out thinking, you know, I want to be so thin. It wasn't about that. It was really about being healthy on the inside, because if you read the book, which I highly recommend, he speaks about arteries, and there's these main arteries in your body that go to your brain, that go to major organs like your heart. And if you clog those arteries, you're going to become ill. And so basically what he says in the book is, you can eat what you want, but eventually you're going to pay for it. And you might live to be 90, but for the last 10 or 15 years of your life, you might be having a stroke or having a heart attack, and my daughter might have to, you know, care for me in a way that she doesn't want to. So what I decided was, if I was going to change my family's eating, I had to keep it really, really simple, because we're a really busy family, and I wanted to make sure that it was simple. Does everybody agree it needs to be simple? Yeah. I never count a calorie. I never measure food. I do read the labels of items, because in the book he says no trans fat, no cholesterol, and no saturated fat. And my mind went, that's never going to happen. But then I thought, you know what, if I prep my food, because I love mason jars, ask my daughter, they're like all over our house. I don't know what happened.
They're everywhere.
So I thought, okay, first I can use these jars for something more than just decor. But also, what I can do is make the food, I know what's in it, and I could prep for about 2 hours one day a week, prep once, eat all week, right? So this is what I do.
So are we getting started with the soup recipe?
We're starting
right
with the soup
okay,
recipe.
Okay, so if all of you have a recipe card in front of you, the fajita soup recipe is going to be on one of the index cards. If you want to go ahead and get that out, and she is going to go step by step, just real briefly, how she preps this, like a cooking show here, so we can give you visuals and see how truly simple it is. So great, so we are going to get started with that, so
yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so in my opinion, if something is really flavorful, then you can enjoy eating it, right? So I kind of decided that I was going to wean my family off of a lot of meat and dairy product. And that's what he talks about in the book as well. Bad news, cheese is no longer your friend.
Did you find these recipes in the book, or did you find them somewhere else?
So there are no recipes in the book, and actually I kind of struggled because normally in the past when I would read a nutrition book, I'm like, okay, forget all whatever they're going to say. Just show me what to eat, right? So I'm just skipping through, and there was nothing. So I went on Pinterest, and I think I started with a vegan soup and just kind of added my own stuff.
Great.
And I guinea pigged on my family.
Okay, great.
Well, and Marin does this at college sometimes, too. So, okay, so you're going to start with a 28-ounce can of petite diced. Now, here's the thing. You can do this however you want. You can buy your food from a name brand. You can buy organic. It's completely up to you. This is just a base. It's a base soup, and it's a base salad. And you're going to dump that into your pot. So, okay. The next thing is a 14 ounce of the fire roasted for flavor, because I really want to have a lot of flavor, and you dump that in, and then you're going to dump in a cup of water. Okay. So far I'm following the recipe, right? Because I want to make sure I don't like say something completely different. Okay. And then you're going to use vegetable broth, and I originally started with chicken broth. But he encourages you in the book to only eat chicken and fish because of the cholesterol issues. And so I thought, well, maybe I should push my family to more vegetable and they won't even know, right? So you put, I like to buy everything low sodium, because if you don't, you're going to ratchet up the sodium and that's not good for you either. So everything's low sodium, and I actually happened to find this at Costco. So, and what's nice, too, when you make food this way is your shopping list is the same every week. Really simple. Okay. And then you're going to dice. They kind of look like just diced. Can you see these carrots? Everything is kind of diced because you're going to puree it. So you don't make it really big but not super tiny either. So that makes it really quick. So poblano peppers or whatever kind of peppers you want. I know I'm in New Mexico. I'm not from here. I'm from California, so I'm going to get in trouble saying what pepper is good and what isn't. Okay. I use one jalapeno seeded because that seems – I kind of would go overboard with the heat on the soup, and my husband and my family would say, we can't eat it. So then I kind of played with it a little. So one seems to be what's tolerable. One whole onion. Okay, so we have a whole onion in here. All this is going in at the same time. There's no special pre-making of anything. Are you liking it so far? It's really easy. Okay, good. So what I did notice, okay, so then you're going to put 3 cloves of garlic. It's going to go in your soup.
Garlic makes everything better.
It does. That's the motto in our family. And I just have to say that I make up this little shaker, and it's salt, pepper, garlic in equal amounts, and I keep this full all the time, and I use this for everything because I'm trying to simplify, and I'll show you later how that works in the salad. So I found that the soup, once I pureed it, was a little thin, and my husband said, I really want some texture, and my husband does eat this way also. He's really...
Yeah, how did you get your husband involved with this? So your whole family does this whole mason jar method with you.
Yes. Well, first of all, I gave up complete control over my family of I am the ruler, this is the way you're going to eat. And my youngest is 14 all the way to 24. And so I figured, you know, they're old enough, they can figure it out now. And I told my husband, honey, this is what we need to do, this is why we need to do it. And he's like, okay. And he just does it. And I said, are you sure? Because I literally have been making this soup and salad for 7 months, the same thing. And he eats it.
Wow.
And he likes it. And I say, no, I can vary it. I can. He's like, no, it's good. I'm fine. I'll explain a little bit later how that worked out, too. So I added carrots because carrots don't have a really strong flavor, and they add volume and texture to the soup. And zucchini. So 2 carrots, 2 zucchini. And you can see how they're chopped. And this is exactly how they look when I put them in. So everything is in here together. And then I put in the fajita mix that you have. And that is from Pinterest. And so I kind of varied it to my flavor. So everybody in here is tasting what I think fajita mix should taste like. But then I put that whole thing in because I like the soup to cook with the seasoning. Is that kind of like a normal cooking thing? Okay, good, because I'm not Julia Childs or anything, or a doctor, so whatever I tell you about health, you just have to get backed up on that. And so I like everything to boil together for the seasonings to mix. And Marin did this at school.
Yeah, and we use this, I don't know how to cook. I think I could burn water, honestly. So, but I can make this, and I don't have this fancy thing because I'm a poor college student, and I just don't even know what that's called. But you can just dump it in a blender, and then that's what I do. So it's easy. You can make it in a little tiny kitchen. You don't have to have fancy equipment. Just grab a blender and blend it up, then pour it back in there and heat it up. And
so how long does this usually take you, especially like in your dorm room, too, to make?
I feel like 10 minutes. Like you just, I would throw all the ingredients in and blend it. Then I just leave it on the stove. And then once it starts like bubbling, I'm like, okay, it's done. Let's put it in mason jars now.
Well, I have to tell you that when you let this boil, and I always try the carrots because the carrots are the hardest thing, and if they're soft, it's ready to be blended. So this is what my husband gave me 1 year for our anniversary.
We all love practical gifts, right?
Yeah. And at first I was like, but now, and he actually came last night and helped make the soup, and he's like, you like that gift, right? So I just put this in the soup and blend it, and then that's it. I'm done. But if you want to use a Vitamix, is that something that's popular? Okay. Or a blender, a Cuisinart. Just be really careful because I've done that in the past before I got this great gift. And I didn't put the lid on well, and I turned it on, and hot soup went everywhere. So don't fill it up all the way. I just want to save you from scalding yourself. Just fill it up halfway. Okay, so kind of part of the story, too, is last October, I had my blood work redone, and my sugar is 84, and my cholesterol went to into the 130s. And so I really thought that, okay, good, I'm not going to have a stroke. And so what I want to say to you about eating the same thing for lunch every day is a couple of things. First of all, like what Marin said about how simple it is, and this is the size soup that I have. You can make any size soup you want. Because he does talk about in the book that eat as much vegetables and fruit as you want. This is just vegetables, right? And I guess tomatoes are a fruit, so vegetables and tomatoes.
Now, how long does that keep? So if you make it once a week, you say, so like on Sunday, do you prep all this?
Yeah.
Does it just, like, you go through it pretty quickly, but...
So I make enough. I make 14 of these, so one for my husband and I, but I've started to notice that other family members want lunch, and so they'll eat that. While they're at home, I'm like, seriously, you can't make something to eat yourself. But so I try to make extra, but it will keep for 1 week in my refrigerator.
And how does that work with your schedule, too? Because you're a working mom, and, I mean, does that free up a lot of time for you?
Yeah, I feel like my son, who's a senior at Hope, one day, I didn't know he was taking these to lunch at Hope. And I said, oh my gosh, do the kids like teaching? He goes, no, they think I'm the coolest kid and my mom is the best. And, you know, she makes my lunch in mason jars. So what I was saying before is I didn't like rule over my family and say everybody has to do this. I just kind of didn't say anything and they just picked it up when they want to pick it up. But what I wanted to say too about this is, I learned a lot of things about myself spiritually, like what Janae was saying, and that was food was filling a space in my heart that God should have been filling. And I get asked a lot here at work, how can you eat the same thing every day? Aren't you bored? I need this. And people say, I need that. I could never do it. And I said, well, because I don't have to think about my food and obsess about what I'm going to have for lunch and are we going to lunch and where are we going to lunch, I can focus better And then I can let God kind of fill that space. So that was unexpected, actually. So that's pretty cool. Did you like it? Was it decent? Okay. It's not horrible, right?
And now you said you put the spices in there, and I don't think this is something we touched on, but we've talked about how you can make it as spicy as you want, obviously. So
yes.
I know we're in New Mexico, and you guys can handle some heat. But the spice is also really great for anti-inflammatories.
Yes.
And what are some of the other benefits?
I know the anti-inflammatory because what I was going to also say is because of my inside issues and the extra weight that I had, I was having a lot of pain and other things. And so once I started eating healthy, my body healed itself in a lot of ways. And then the real stuff that I needed to deal with kind of came to the surface. Does that make sense? Like, okay, well, my knee hurts because I was overweight. And now my knees, I can focus on them, healing them, and it's not because of the weight. Mm-hmm. And so I know that hot food does have anti-inflammatory properties, but also, I don't know.
I think it helps your metabolism, too, a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, thank you. It's hard for me to remember everything. So I want to show you the salad really quick. And this is really basic, like I said. You can make this however you want. Oh, thank you. Yeah, let's move all this. We're done with this. Okay. So I make my salads in a big jar and my soup in a small jar because I want to eat as many vegetables as I can, right? So I take olive oil and I just dump it in here. The reason I'm actually doing this one because I'm going to put it in my bowl. I need that bowl. And show you how to dump it out. Because I keep getting questions like, how do you dump out the salad? And how does it not get soft? Valid, valid questions. By the way, the soup, I just take the lid off and heat it in the microwave. I don't put it in a bowl because I don't want to wash one more dish.
Okay. Also, you can drink it out of the little mason jar too. Like when I walk to work or whatever, I'm like, I don't have time to like eat it out of a bowl and like sit there and slurp my soup. So I just like walk and drink it. So that's helpful too.
And it doesn't taste bad cold. I think it's called gazpacho if you do that. Okay. So we have olive oil and I just put in the olives. I usually count. So at my house, you'll see all these jars and I'm counting 6 olives, 6 tomatoes, just because it makes me happy to make things even. But put whatever you want. It's like therapy. But less expensive. Okay.
These tomatoes are beautiful. There's so many colors.
Yeah, these are baby heirlooms. And I just put 6 like that. I use garbanzo beans, but I have used quinoa. I really love quinoa, but then you have to make it and, you know, that whole thing. So, but I've also used black beans, and my family really likes that too. I kind of just basically make the same thing until they say, can we have something like onion in it? And then I vary it a little. So then I just put a handful like that. See how simple this is? Handy dandy salt, pepper, garlic, because I'm making my own dressing. And I like a lot of flavor. So then normally I have a funnel. But for some reason at my house I can't find it. Somebody put it in the wrong place. Okay, so just whatever you think is good until somebody complains and says it has too much seasoning. And that's it. Like, that's it. That's seriously it. And I really like this box salad. Sometimes I'll dump it all out and chop it and add arugula or something to it because I like the flavor of arugula. But you want to make sure it's dry. So basically you're going wet ingredient, hard vegetables to soft. Does that make sense? Okay. So then, this is literally what I do. I just shove it in here. Because I want as much salad as I can get. And it's like, makes me happy to put that in there. I don't know why.
Now, do you make these once a week too? And
I
prep them for the week? Okay.
So as my soup is boiling, I'm making the salads.
And also this little box of salads, like only $5, and it's organic, and so this is really affordable, like all the ingredients.
We did figure out the financial side of all of this, but I can't remember what I said. But it came out to like $1.80 a meal. So I went to an unnamed restaurant yesterday with my coworker, and I had a salad, the small, the half version. It came with an apple and a drink, and it was like $8.50. I was like, could have bought some makeup. Okay. So, but the meaty was good. So, okay, so that's it. And so I have a little lunchbox, and I just take, where's my soup? I just take my soup, and I put it in my little lunchbox, and I put an apple on top, and everything goes in the refrigerator. So I wake up in the morning, and I just grab it and go. And then when I get to work, I don't know why this is such an interesting question everybody asked me, and I didn't bring a fork. So you just take the fork, and you kind of go like this. I guess it's a science. Okay. It's easier with a fork. Okay, so then you go like this, and see how the dressing goes on to everything, and there is your lunch.
Wow, it looks beautiful.
Yeah. That's it.
I have another question, too. So okay, with your ingredients, like the garbanzo beans, you have them in mason jars. Do you keep them like that at home, too, or just in the cans?
No, I just keep them in the cans.
Okay.
Yeah. I did go through and take, like, all my spices and put them in the little tiny mason jars, so that when I'm cooking, I can read the tops.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, but other than that, no. And what else does he say in the book? So you could, like, grill chicken in the oven and let it kind of cool and chop it up and put it on top of the jar and then put the lid if you wanted a little more protein. That's really good. And then what I do, too, is sometimes I'll make a salad. Like, when it's cold outside, I don't want to necessarily eat cold food, too, right? So I'll bring my salad, and I'll have my grilled chicken separate in a baggie, and I'll heat it in the microwave so then I can put warm chicken on a salad.
Okay, great. And then you said you found these recipes at Pinterest. So
right.
Is there a good resource there that you have that you can point women to
no.
find similar recipes?
No.
Okay.
I really think that one of the things that makes changing eating fun is you do the homework, you do the research, you find what you like for your family, what your taste is. You know, somebody might say, I would never put tomatoes in anything. I actually have a child like that. She goes, ooh. I'm like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. But if you do Google mason jar meals on Pinterest, there's a ton of things, and it's fun. I don't know. I just think it's really fun. So the last thing that I wanted to say about this, and you're going to go home, and if you're excited, which I hope you are, I just hope that you give it a try, because we have busy lives, and I know when I don't eat this way, because I love McDonald's. It's like my happy place. Like, seriously, the Happy Meal at McDonald's is, like, the best. I will eat that way if I don't bring my food, and so you can choose. So he says in the book, decide, commit. And that's how we are with the Lord, right? We decided to follow him, and now we're committed. So decide, commit, do the work now, learn how to eat healthy now, or you can do the same thing every day when you're older. You can get diabetes and give yourself a shot every single day, or take a myriad of medications for a disease every single day. Do you want to do this every single day, or do you want to do something else like that, right?
Great. So, well, thank you so much, sure. Tracy and your daughter, for coming up here and sharing this with us. Such practical solutions to just everyday eating, so thank you.
And I think we'll be here afterwards to answer questions, too, if you guys have any. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And please give them a round of applause again for Tracy volunteering her time and doing this for us.
Sign up for Bible study, go online, register.
Yes, spring session is starting, so please do that on Tuesdays. Next up, we have some gifts to give away for you guys, which is really exciting. We actually have two books to give away. Let me grab these. So this is the book that Tracy is referring to, The Prescription for Life by Richard Furman. So we have a special treat. On the bottom of your mason jars, two of you will have a star. So if you want to go ahead and turn those over, and then whoever the winner is, stand up. It's a black magic marker star. All right, there's someone in the back. Great. Come on up. Yeah. And then, oh, great. Perfect. All right, here you go. Here is, oops, sorry, your copy. And here is yours. Congratulations. And then if you yourself would like to read the book, Parchments is here over on the corner over there, and they have books for sale, not even just on cooking, but also spiritual health, mental health. There's a whole like gamut of genres over there, all related to what we're talking about today. So please stop over there afterwards. Also, each of you is walking away with a gift today, which is so exciting. And our volunteers last night, let's give them a round of applause, put together each mason jar for you. You're going to find that everything that Tracy talked about today is in that mason jar, along with the exercise demo that is coming up next, and the fajita mix, which to help get you started and just to kind of give you an idea of what the taste that Tracy was talking about. So you can replicate at home. We just want to say that we love to bless you. This is a ministry, and we want to continue to give you practical solutions and tips that you guys can go home with and grow with you and your families or yourself. And so if you want to donate to this ministry, we have a mason jar, ironically enough, set up at the door. If you would like to give tithes to this ministry specifically so we can continue to do this and give you guys gifts that you can go home with. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it, too. Just want to say that. Also, sorry, getting lost here myself. So the She Lives volunteer table is over there as well. Please see Julia. Give us a little wave. We have our Run Passionately team set up. If you want to join and get more information about that, please head over there. And then also Pure Bar, our special guests. We want to give them a round of applause for being here. If you haven't already, they are giving off $10 off coupons for a class, so you can come and try that yourself. And then register, because they are giving away an unlimited, 1 month unlimited membership, which is an incredible value. I took the class once, and I was sore for a week. So let me tell you, it is a fun exercise. It's upbeat, and you will see results for sure. Next up, we have our Run Passionately team leaders coming up. Katrina is going to give us a testimony about her exercise journey, and then Noelle and Melissa, who is a certified trainer, is going to go through a demo, the demo that's in your mason jars. So please welcome them to the stage.
Julia, microphone.
Oh, yeah.
That was an exercise demonstration.
Woo!
Sorry about that. Okay. Hi, everyone. Yeah, it is much brighter right here, right? So my name is Katrina, and I just came to share a little bit about the journey that I really believe God brought me on to become more fit. So we already know this is a safe place. I want to ask a question so you can be real. How many of you love to exercise? Uh-huh, yeah. Look around. There's like three people that I'll call crazy, right? And that was me. Let's see, I had my beautiful daughter, who's raising her hand. Sit down, we'll talk later, sweetie pie. I had her, and if you've ever had a child, your body changes forever. And if you haven't, I just let you in on that little secret. And then I turned 30, and I was frustrated. I was frustrated with my body. I was losing energy. Diet wasn't so much an issue with me. I knew how to eat healthy. But at that point in my life, where I'd had a baby and I turned 30, the things that worked before didn't work anymore. And The other issue was that my husband is one of those crazy people, like the four of you in this room, who loves to exercise. And so it was this, like, line in the sand for us, because he wanted to do that together. He wanted to go for walks and go on hikes. And I basically felt like it was slow pain every time he wanted to do that. And so I was like our kids in a car ride. As soon as we started the walk, I'd be like, are we there yet? Is it over? Are we done? And so in my heart, I know that through Christ, we are more than conquerors, right? Except when it comes to exercise. And that's what I really believed. And so I would go to the gym, and I'd never stay long enough, and I never really knew what I was supposed to be doing. I mean, I could do the leg press, and I kind of did some lunges, but then I would probably leave way sooner than I needed to. And one day I was at the gym, and I got up the courage to go to a group fitness class. And it was totally the Holy Spirit, because I would never do this without help or a friend or being pushed by somebody. And so I went in, I think it was Zumba, and I had so much fun that I didn't even realize the class was over when it was over. Like, I could have kept going. And so then I slowly, gradually started taking more and more classes, to the point that I never even went on the floor anymore to do normal exercises. And I was addicted. And one day, I decided to take a spin class, and I went up to the instructor afterwards, and I was almost in tears, and I told her, you don't even know how much this has changed my life, and I believe that God brought me here. And to my surprise, she was a believer, and I brought her to tears, and she said, you have to become an instructor. And I was like, I have to go. I'll see you later. But she was serious, and she got my number. And long story short, a year after that first day I went into a group fitness class, I was a certified cycling instructor with a full-time job separately. My marriage was totally healed because we could now exercise together, because I had gradually built myself into the point of actually being one of you crazy people who likes to exercise. And a year after that, I was certified in a weightlifting class. So I was changed by God to somebody who hated it. I mean, I've never been an athlete ever. Like, I think I was on a softball team and we lost every game as a kid. I'm not that kind of person. I sang and danced in high school. I was not that way. And so I really believe that that mountain I had built was me. And we know from what Janae said that our time with God is like a habit. It is something we have to be intentional about. It is something that we have to choose to do. And I believe that is the same thing for the food we eat. It's the same thing for exercise. And that if we intentionally build ourselves up and learn to do this, that we can climb a mountain and we can overcome those barriers. And during my time of discovering this, I was like, okay, seriously, we talk about our Lord Jesus and how incredible he is, because he left heaven and came down to earth, and he's so relatable because he experienced everything that we experience, right? But I was like, he never did body combat. I never saw him doing squats. Like, seriously, Lord, what about Jesus? And it was really a cry for me, because I felt like I want to know if he did that, right? And he did. Because if we look at Matthew 5, which is the Beatitudes, in the beginning it says, and I'm reading from the Message version, but the other versions also express this. It says that when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. And then it says, arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And we know that with God, anything good is preceded by some hard stuff, that God uses all those really difficult moments. And I think that if we can see this life we have, this temple, as the fact that there will be challenges, but if we devote every part of our lives to God, that he will help us through that and he will use that journey. So I just hope that you see it that way, that you find a way to make exercise fun, or if you're like me with the slow pain and you're thinking about, are we there yet? Find a way to distract yourself, listen to a sermon, put some worship music on it, put Zumba on in your house, come to run passionately. We have tips for you, but be able to get through that point and be intentional with your food and with your exercise so that later on in life you're not at that point where that time you're spending is survival. So we'll switch to Noelle.
All right. Thanks, Katrina. So my name is Noelle, and that really speaks to me a lot, Katrina, because even just a couple of months ago, I was having a hard time getting myself to the gym, and my husband is exactly like her husband. He's, like, doing keto. He works out, like, 6 days a week, and I'm just kind of like, you're insane, and I just want to sit on the couch. And so, but one thing that kept me going was once a week I got moving with Run Passionately. And so for those of you that just checked out because I said the word run, check back in. You don't have to run. By a show of hands, I know that you all are out here. Those that come to Run Passionately, raise your hand for me. So look around in the back. We love you. Thank you so much for coming. And so they can testify the fact that you don't have to run. So once a week we meet on 9 o'clock on Saturdays. So same time that we met here today. In the summer we do go to 8 o'clock because it just gets way too hot to be moving from 9 to 10 o'clock in the heat of the sun. And so, we meet 3 times of the month. We meet to walk, jog, run, whatever you want to do. There's someone to do it with you. And then once a month, we do our strength training session. So Melissa is our certified fitness trainer that puts together our strength workouts. She put together the one that is in your cards, in your mason jar today. And we meet once a month to do the strength training. And so the great thing about this group is that you come and you see us. We try to make sure we're wearing the same color so you can find us. We go to different locations every week, so we try to rotate around. We've done the Loop Around Academy. We do the Alameda Open Space. We just added doing the Nature Center, which is a little bit farther south on the Bosque Trail. That way, depending on where you live, it might be a little bit easier of a trip each time you come. And so what you'll find is that there's a woman there that's ready to partner up with you. If you want to walk, we have someone to walk with you. If you want to run as fast as you can, we have someone to run with you. And the great thing about it is that we all put on our headphones and we ignore each other. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. We don't do that. What we do is we actually have someone right next to you or a couple people right next to you, and you get to just talk. And you get to share, and you get to strain together. You get to move together, and you get to share your life with a woman. And I've just found this to be such a blessing in my own life. I joined as just a member, just kind of, I do like to run. And so I kind of showed up and started showing up. And it is just, when you hear, especially those of you that come to church here at Calvary, you hear the idea of a connect group, of making a big church small, this does that for you. And it really did it for me. I got so plugged in spending time with these women that come every week. And it is just such an amazing experience to have someone that's there walking with you. And so one thing we did last week was we actually started talking to each other about what are your goals. Call it a New Year's resolution if you want to, or just what's your goal? Do you want to move more? Do you want to make it to run passionately just once a week or once a month? It's only once a week anyways. Do you want to make it once a month? Do you want to make it just to maybe the strength training sessions? Maybe you really don't even want to walk. Make it to the strength training session. You know, whatever your goal is. And so some of us were sharing goals of, you know, maybe we're thinking about running a marathon. Maybe we're thinking about running a 5K. Maybe we're thinking about running. And so what is it? What is it that you want to do? And share that with us. Come with us. And the great thing about it is you have women that now are praying for you, praying for that goal. And so the way that it kind of looks every Saturday is that you come, we do a short devotion, we say a prayer together, and then we get started. We do, on the days that we're walking or running, we do 20 minutes out and 20 minutes back. So the way that that works is that no matter what pace you're doing, we're all ending at the same time together. We end with prayer, and then for those that are available, we actually go and have coffee together, which is just kind of increases that time for fellowship. Maybe you ran, now you can sit with coffee with someone that walked, so it's kind of really nice to do. And then again, we have strength training, so to kind of conclude with that, next week, we're meeting here in the hub at 9 o'clock, so if it's snowy and cold again, you can be inside to work out, which is great, instead of running outside. And we'll be doing the exact workout that is on that workout card. So we're going to demonstrate that. Melissa's going to lead Katrina and I in a second through the moves just to show you what they look like, kind of get you familiar with it. But if you really want to try it and you want encouragement to try it, if you want Melissa and Katrina too to help with your form, Melissa always helps me with my form because I'm not that great at it. They're there for you, and you can have that group to get you encouraged to start moving your body and start being with that fellowship of women. Again, not only getting that physical health, but getting that spiritual fitness too. And you have these women that are so excited to share that with you. And we want you to be there. So if you want to join our email list, we send out our location every week. We also put it up on SheABQ on Instagram, and it's also on SheABQ.org where we're going to be, so you can always find us. But if you want our email list too, where we kind of talk about things upcoming, we have our sign-up list in the back, so just write your name, your email on there so we can start adding you to our list and start inviting you. So I'm going to hand it off to Melissa, and we're going to walk through the workout.
All right. Good morning, ladies. Glad you guys could make it. Boy, it is bright up here. Like, whoa. So I just wanted to, it sounds like really I hadn't heard these testimonies yet until this morning, and it sounds like we all came pretty much on the same journey. My husband is a fanatic when it comes to working out as well. He's a fourth degree black belt, so he kind of pulled me through our 25 years of marriage. To where I am today. This is actually a second career for me. I became a personal trainer about 4 years ago. So everybody can do it. And the way that we wrote the workout, it really is for all levels of exercise or fitness. So it's written in circuits. So if you look at your card, there's like little circuits. So what a circuit means is that you go through all the exercises in that circuit consecutively. Now you can modify, and we will be showing the modifications for all of the exercises, so we can modify it so it gets harder, or you can modify it to be easier, just depending on your fitness level. So we'll go through those modifications when we get started here. But and then you can go as rapid as you want through the circuit. So you can make it really, really hard and really, really a good cardio workout, or you can make it, take it slow, do a less amount of reps to make it a little bit easier and work up to that more difficult level. So we're going to start here with circuit one, which is your core. So this workout also covers head to toe. You're getting a core workout along with legs and arms and everything. And that's another thing. You find a workout partner to work out with, or get your kids involved at home. The way that you do this workout, you can do it anywhere. You can do it in the gym, you can do it at home. You don't need any equipment, but we will show you how to do it with some equipment if you want to. And also, maybe you can get your husband involved and you guys can do it together. That's a really good way to stay motivated. All right, so circuit number one is core. So we're starting with planks here. And a plank is really engaging your core. So anytime we talk about engaging the core, it's really just think about dropping those ribs and pulling your hips forward so that everything right in here is really nice and tight. So when you're in a plank position, your core is engaged. This is just a regular plank. But if you can't do that, you can drop to your knees here, just like Noelle did. Your core is still engaged. Or if you can't do that, bring your knees up. Get into almost like you're just on all fours and just keep that core engaged. And you can hold that for 30 seconds as you get stronger. Just start building the amount of time that you hold that core. All right? Leg lifts. All right, hands under hips to support your back. All right, Katrina's going to show you what it's like to just do, let's keep it low, right here. So right here, okay, keeping that core really nice and tight. Slow up and down. If you need to modify, go one leg at a time. And again, just keep that core engaged, but it's still working. But this is just how you build up to that. All right, rest, girls. All right, Russian twists. This is going to... here we go. Yeah, can you hear me? All right, Russian twists. So with no equipment, because we don't have any weights, we're going to get really long through the torso. Arms are up high, and you're just going to go side to side here. And this is working your obliques, your side, the side of your abs. Okay? So if you have weights at home, you can bring that weight low and side to side. So you're holding this weight right here. And you're just going side to side and rest. You guys okay? All right, we're going to get the heart rate up here now. So we're going to high knees for 30 seconds, which you're not going to do 30 seconds, but high knees here, or just crunch, and really think about bringing that knee in and high to the chest. All right. All right, circuit number two is your glutes, okay? So air squats here. Squats are really just like sitting. So the main thing about a squat, you want to make sure your hips go back first, shift that weight to your heels, and come down. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Better? Okay. All right. So the modification for a squat would just to be sitting in a chair and coming back up. And this is working just as well as your normal squat here. You do squats. A lot of these exercises, you do them in everyday life. Okay? All right. So fire hydrants, we're getting those abductors, the side muscle right here, okay? Still working on your glutes here. So you're going to go, make sure your shoulders are directly over your wrists. And just think about a little dog, right? So, okay, if you want to modify that, if you're not comfortable getting down on the floor, you can do it standing, just coming out to the side here, and then you can add a little resistance if you have a band that you can put around your ankle and just go right out like that. That'll really get those abductors engaged. All right, donkey kicks. So again, you're down on the all fours, bringing that knee to your chest and then out. Yep, just like that. Okay, the modification for this would be to be standing up and you're kicking straight back. Just, it's not a big move. Just make sure you're engaging that glute when you kick back. Okay? All right, and then here's your cardio for this circuit. It's a burpee. All right, there's a modification for a burpee. Okay, here's the burpee, the way it's known to be done, right? Okay, you can add a push-up to that if you want to make it harder, just like that. Nice work, Noelle. Okay, and here's your modification. So you're just down here and then up. So right here and up, okay? That's where you start. And then you can add the hop if you want. All right. So circuit number three, your legs. We're going to do some sissy squats. Everybody come over or flip to the table over here, because with a sissy squat, you actually have to have something to hold on to. So you'd like to, like, have just hold on to the back of your couch or something, but it has to be a heavy piece of furniture, because you're going to actually come way up on those toes, and you're going to lean back and then come down into that squat, and you're not coming full. So it's just like a little pulse, okay? You're not coming all the way up when you come in. And that's going to really target those quads, okay? Nice work, girls. Come on back. All right, walking lunges. So, yeah. So walking lunge, you're just basically coming down into a lunge. Main thing is make sure that your knee is behind your toes. You never want to bring that knee over your toes. Okay? Just like that. Nice work, Kat. All right, Noelle. This is your modification. If you can't walk through it, just get into that lunge position and up and down. Same thing. See how Noelle's knee is behind her toes. That's really important to protect your knees, okay? All right, calf raises. So you can just do them right here on your toes if you want to. If you have a step in your house, you can come to the end of the stage here and just kind of hang those heels here. You guys need me to hang those heels over the back of the step. That's it right there. Good girl. All right, and then the cardio portion for your circuit number three are mountain climbers. So here's your harder version. You're going to jump through it a little bit. Get that heart rate up, okay? And then Kat will show you the modification. So there's several ways. You can bring that knee straight up to the elbow. That's one way. You can bring that knee up to the shoulder. There you go. Or you can bring that knee across your body, just like that. So you would just alternate sides for, what did we put on here? 20 reps, okay? Just like that. Nice. All right, circuit number four is arms and chest. So we start with push-ups. Okay, so you want to make sure, just like these ladies, your shoulders are over your wrists, and you're just coming straight down. Nice work, girls. All right, so your modification would be drop to your knees right here. Same thing. Your shoulders are coming straight down. Good job, guys. And then there's one more modification. So, Noelle, bring your knees all the way in. So you're on all fours, and you're just coming down just like that. Perfect. So if this is where you need to start, start here. And as you get to get, as you start to get stronger, just start to push your feet out back behind you. All right. Tricep dips. So I don't know if you can see them here, but if you have, again, a step in your house, you would sit at the edge of the step, come, bring your feet out in front of you. So you, the closer your feet are to you, the easier the dip will be. If you need it to be harder, just push those feet out further away. Okay? If you don't have a step, you can just come, you can do it on the floor. So come on back up here, you guys. You'll still be working the exact same muscle here. And these are triceps right in here. Good. Nice work, guys. All right. Arm circles. So this is a really basic exercise, but it's also very effective. The main thing you want to do is make sure that you're keeping resistance in that muscle. So arms really nice and tight when you're doing these. And then if you want to, if you have some little hand weights or something, you can add weight to that, okay? And you're just going to go in both directions on those arm circles. All right, and then jumping jacks is your cardio for circuit number four. So just a regular jumping jack. If you're not used to jumping and you don't like to jump or your knees are bad or something, you can just step it out. Yep, just like that. And then start to increase the speed. You can go fast if you want to get your cardio going or your heart rate up. So we put 1 minute rest at the end of each circuit on this workout. But if your heart rate starts to come down quickly, don't wait the minute. You want to keep that heart rate up so that you're burning calories and you're really getting the most benefit out of your workout. Okay? If you guys have any questions, we'll be hanging around for a little while. And then we really hope to see you here next week at 9 o'clock. We'll be doing this workout for real. Okay? Thank you, guys.